I love Palm Sunday, not just because of the picnic and the Easter egg hunt, but it's always what I like to call the chaos of Lent. We gather out in the atrium and everyone is talking and excited, and it's even a fanfare of trumpets couldn't get you to stop talking. And we all enter the room with about, I'm going to say this year it was better than normal, but not the most excitement that we could muster. It should be one of the best days of the year. I have a minister friend in Virginia who says Palm Sunday is the day when we embody our worship, to express our praise with our bodies, to let our bodies mirror our hearts. Let's hope our hearts are a little more excited than we usually show. I was reading the last verse of this song, this Tize song that we have been singing before and after our prayer. The Lord is my song, the Lord is my praise, all my hope comes from God. The Lord is my song, the Lord is my praise, God, the wellspring of life. Oh, if we could walk into church every Sunday feeling that wellspring of life. I can't help but think about our country as I think about Palm Sunday. It seems, the last year has been all about our presidential campaign. This person against that person. Some cheering for this person, some cheering for that person. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Wouldn't go there. But I can't help but feel like as Jesus began to enter Jerusalem, it was a bit of a battle of teams. Pilate is riding into town on a huge stallion on the other side of town, and people are lining the roads and cheering for Pilate. And Jesus is entering from the other side of town with people cheering and lining his route. And I guess it bothers me. Well, bothers maybe not the right word. It intrigues me that Jesus actually planned and participated in this. Well, it's what bothered the Pharisees, wasn't it? That Jesus allowed these people to sing and praise his name. There are a few other things about the Palm Sunday story that I think is interesting. First, there really are no palms in Luke's story. It's cloaks. So I guess we should have called it Cloak Sunday, but that doesn't sound very good. Matthew tells us that they laid cloaks and branches from a tree. But we have to read John in order to find palms actually mentioned. Yet we chose palms as the symbol for this day. I guess because it's easier to wave. And another interesting thing about Palm Sunday that I've always heard was that the people that were praising Jesus one day were the very people who were yelling, "Crucify him," days later. There's nothing in our scripture that tells us that. What is probably more to the fact is that those who were yelling praises to Jesus one day were mysteriously silent days later. I think that's one of the important things that we can pick up from this story today. We come here to this place every Sunday or every few Sundays. And it's a nice, safe place to sing praises to Jesus, isn't it? It's a nice place. It's a comfortable place. The music is wonderful. The people are so amazing. We don't stick out when we come here and praise. Everyone else is doing the exact same thing. We believe at least basically the same things. And we certainly know that no one is going to persecute us or ridicule us here for praising God. But we go out into the world, and it's a whole nother ball of wax, isn't it? The disciples, I'm sure, had some fear that day. At least the two that Jesus sent in to basically steal a donkey for him to ride on. That had to be frightening. They could have been arrested. They could have suffered tremendously. Many of the disciples knew what Jesus told them would be happening to him in Jerusalem. So they had to know that there was something to fear. But mostly the people were pretty confident in this man who rode before them on a simple donkey, who had performed miracles, who had made promises of new life. So they sang his praise and they stood before him. But over the next few days, things didn't look as promising. Even his disciples began out of my pocket. There we go. Okay. Even his disciples began to betray him and deny him. Why would you want to stand up now and support a man that so many others were yelling, "Crucify him"? What if you defended this man and they wanted to arrest you? Many hid, not wanting to be found, not knowing what to do. When we leave this place, the place of safety and the place of like-mindedness, do we continue to praise the name of Jesus, or do we become mysteriously silent? Do we go with the flow of the crowd that we're with at the time? Do we betray or deny when it becomes difficult, or hide? It's the natural thing to do, to blend in with the crowd. But what are we called to do? Another interesting thing about the story to me is that for some time now, Jesus has been saying, "Follow me. Follow me. Follow me, and I will show you the way. Follow me, and I will make you disciples. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me." And now, suddenly, Jesus is sending the people ahead of them. He sends the two disciples ahead of him to retrieve the donkey. The people enter the city ahead of him, laying their cloaks and maybe their palm branches on the road ahead of him. I don't know if Jesus was trying to make a statement, but perhaps he was saying, "I've led you this far. Now I need you to go ahead and lead your own path. I've shown you how I want you to live, and I want you to go on ahead and live the life that I've taught you to live. I'm with you." But that's one of the most frightening images of all, isn't it? Having to make our own pathway. There isn't a detailed line-by-line instruction sheet of how we are to live. We have to make our own choices. Sometimes we follow the crowd. And sometimes that crowd is headed in the right direction. But sometimes we follow a crowd that's headed in the wrong direction. Sometimes we yell with the crowd. Sometimes we yell against the crowd. And sometimes we're mysteriously silent. I watch
with horror as people attack other people at campaign rallies, at concerts, at other kind of gatherings, because someone believes differently than they do. Sure, maybe the person is there to cause a ruckus, but to gang up and beat another person because of their beliefs, that's exactly what was happening this day in Jerusalem. And as much as we like to think we've come so far, we really haven't changed that much, have we? We pick someone to follow, and we follow them, sometimes with everything we have, and sometimes in mysterious silence. As Jesus was literally paraded into Jerusalem on a donkey, with people lining the streets and singing his praise, it was the beginning of what we now refer to as Holy Week. A week that traditionally challenges us to think about our lives and our willingness to sing praises to Jesus or to stand silently by and watch him walk the road to the cross. We began several years ago handing out nails. Nails for you to carry with you all week in your pocket or in your purse or lay it on your desk or next to your bed. But a nail to carry with you all week to think about your life and how you follow Christ in your life. Not thinking about the punishment, but thinking about the way that Christ loved us through the cross. We have these nails again this year, and I invite you to carry it with you this week and to think about not only your willingness to stand alone and to declare praises to God, but also your willingness to lead the way, to choose your own path, to perhaps lead others to follow, to feel safe knowing that it's not about this world, knowing that it doesn't end at the cross. The cross is just the beginning. And we come here on Friday night, on Good Friday, and we bring our crosses back and we lay them at the foot of the cross to say, I'm leaving this here and I'm taking the cross with me, to carry with me through the rest of my life, because it's not about this world and it's not even about the cross. It's about what happens after the cross. May we be people who create our own paths, knowing that Jesus has taught us the way forward.